Okay, so the Maharal in Perek Shishim and Gevuras Hashem, 60th Perek in Gevuras Hashem, is going to explain a lot of ideas related to Korban Pesach. So the at the top of your page is where he's actually quoting the Haggadah. Rabbi Gamliel, hi Omer, Kol Shalom Omer, Shlosh Devarim, Eilu B'Pesach, Lo Yasdei Chavaso. Anyone who did not see these three things on Pesach, did not feel their obligation, that is Pesach Matzah Mar. If you want me to slow down, just let me know to slow down, but I'm going to go a little fast on some of these things, okay? This part you know. And the Haggadah goes on and continues to say, Pesach, what is Pesach? This whole idea of the Korban Pesach that our forefathers ate when the Beis Hamikdash was around. Al Shema, what was it for? Al Shem, Shapasach Kadosh Baruch Hu, Batinu Vasim Mitzrayim. And the fact that Hashem jumped over the houses of our forefathers, Homer Mitzrayim, Shanemar, as the verse says, Yamartim Zavach Pesach Ul Hashem, you will say this is a Pesach Korban for Hashem, Asher Pasach Abate Bnei Yisrael. He jumped over the house of Bnei Yisrael, Mitzrayim, Benaga Po Es Mitzrayim, when he hit and attacked the Jewish people, Vesvatinu Vasim, and he saved their homes. When the nation got up and they were dancing and they bowed down. That is what it says. So what's the reason why we have a Korban Pesach? Because Hashem jumped over the houses of the Jewish people. So ask the Maharal at the bottom of the page. Hinerinu, we see that Hashem, Tziva v'Pesach al Shem Shepesach. The reason why we have the Korban Pesach is because Hashem jumped over. What do you mean? I don't understand. Lo ha'isa shum makam in amakas b'Yisrael. There was not a single plague that the Jewish people were really affected by, you know, blood. They didn't have to do anything with it, it says in the next page, right? Even the first plague already, the Jew drank water, the Egyptian drank blood. So like, just because of the fact that Hashem jumped over the house of the Jewish people, that's why we have a Korban Pesach. You don't have a special mitzvah for every other one of the 10 plagues, right? Why is it that 9 plagues, you don't have a mitzvah, suddenly this plague, you have a mitzvah? What's the deal? What's the story over here? Like, why? And because he jumped over, the Jews were saved from every other plague. Second line over here, V'daki l'olam hayumakos tamed olam is garbim. We knew that the plagues were getting stronger and stronger. And so don't worry about to say, oh, you know what? The Jews were saved from the earlier plagues. But that doesn't mean they're going to be saved from the later plagues. Why? He says in the fourth line on them. The reason why is because the reason why the plagues didn't affect the Jewish people is because they're on a higher spiritual level than everybody else. So that's why those plagues didn't affect the Jewish people. However, you can't say the same thing by the 10th plague. But when it came to the last plague, that's different. That was through Hashem. Shalotucha lomer, you can't say shaisa medrig so chashav. You can't say that the level of spiritual level of the Jewish people is so chashav, so important, so lofty. Shalohayakoch hamakalios mushlach b'Yisrael. You can't say that the plague of the firstborns was going to be so that they would be saved because this is a totally different level of plague. This is coming directly from Hashem. Shari hamaka hayakadosh baruch hu ba'atzmo. The whole nature of the plague was Hashem Himself. If it's Hashem Himself, doesn't mean you're shooing to be saved from it. Who says you're going to be saved from this entire plague at all? In fact, it's a totally different thing. You should be destroyed. It's coming from Hashem. You're not on the spiritual level to compare yourself to that, to the power of Hashem. Therefore, to the honor of Hashem, the plague would actually be destroying everybody. So then the obvious question is, oh, fine, I get it. So then why weren't the Jewish people affected? So again, just to review the question, what's so special about the 10th plague if in fact the Jews were saved from all the other plagues? The 10th plague, we have this fancy thing we have to do called the Korban Pesach to celebrate. What is so special about this one of the other ones? So the first attempt is, I'll tell you what it is. What it is because of the fact that the other plagues, you don't have to be on the highest spiritual level. As long as you're a Jew, that's enough to be saved. But since the last plague came directly from Hashem, who says they're worthy of being saved? Who said their spiritual level is worthy of being saved? And therefore Hashem had to do something about it. What did He do? So we're at the last set of underlines on this page. Im kein lama lo haisa makah b'chor Yisrael. So why weren't they plagued? V'lo haya ze ki im b'shvil ze ki Yisrael heim l'chelek HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzma. What happened is, the reason why they were saved, because Hashem made them into a chelik of Himself. You're now my portion. You're mine. You're now part of me. What does it mean you're now part of me? Hashem says, B'ni Bechor Yisrael, the Jewish people are my Bechorim. Once you become Hashem's Bechorim, we're in a totally different place right now. We're no longer going to be considered a regular firstborn. And he's going to explain what the difference is. Since they're considered chashuv at this point, they're considered lofty, then they're not part of this plague. Why? Because the madrega of a bechor, the essence of what an actual firstborn is about, mitzad ha'alul v'lo mitzad ha'alah. Now, I had a hard time understanding how to translate these words. But what he's basically saying is, it's not because of what you are, it's because of what you're connected to. And if you want to find me, it's three lines below the underlines. Kimadrega ha'bechor, you see it? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Humitzad ha'alul v'lo mitzad ha'alah. And he's going to explain, kind of. She'ein madregas ha'bechor rak she'bechor hu reishis l'kol asher yatzeh l'pal achrav. What's a regular bechor? A regular firstborn is, you know why you're firstborn? Because you were first. That's it. You got in line first. That's it. You weren't deserving of anything. You weren't special. You just happened to be born first. That made you special. So what made you special in the fact is that it happened to come in number first. So you're reishis l'kol, you're the first to everything. She'yasu l'pol achrav, and now there are going to be others that come after you. So there's nothing about you, and actually nothing about the one you came from either, that makes you special. Your specialness is based on the fact that you happen to be numbered as this one. but, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kasher lakach Yisrael elav, but when Hashem took the Jewish people to him, Kanu hamayla mitzad he'ala, they acquired this level of being first or firstborn, not because they were first towards something, but because they became elevated to first by being connected to Hashem. I'm going to repeat that, okay? I'm going to say it, I'm going to try to literally translate the Hebrew, and then I'm going to repeat it in my English. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kasher lakach Yisrael, and Hashem, when he took the Jewish people to him, Kanu hamayla, they acquired this level, mitzad he'ala, from the elevated status of the one that they're connected to, which is Hashem. Ulekach lehigia lehem hamaka. It's for this reason why the plague never affected them. So translating that into a more doable English, we'll say, is that unlike a regular firstborn, firstborn status is simply because you were born first. This firstborn status is that you're chosen to be the head because Hashem chose you. You're chosen to be, it's equivalent to, we say, like, we chose you to be the CEO. Okay? We chose you to be the valedictorian. Not because you showed up to school first on that day. We're not giving valedictorian to the people who came the earliest. You'll get like a Shmir says mom card, you know, but you're not getting more than that. But the valedictorian was elevated because they chose you to become the best. That's the difference, right? So then Hashem says, when I call the Jewish people Bechor, which means you're now elevated and selected different than everybody else, means I made you on a higher status, and it's not like everybody else's Bechor rights. Their firstborn rights are just simply because they were born first. Okay? So, did that explain it? You still lost? One more time.
Blood on the doorpost.
Good question. Okay, good question. I hear the question. I don't know if you addressed that question, but just I can answer a part of it. But let's finish this paragraph. And he says, therefore, it's for this reason why the plague never affected them. Not because of their original spiritual status, but ki madregas Yisrael, the level of the Jewish people, sheyesh lem mitzad shem el Hashem Yisbarach, because they are now part of Hashem's, who yoter min madregas ha'bechor. It's a higher level than that of a regular firstborn. Shehu reishit ha'alul v'Yisrael yeshem dveikit v'Allah. So the regular firstborn is the first of a list. But the firstborn of the Jewish people is the only. It's now the chosen ones. And those chosen ones, those bechorim, are now going to be totally separate. So not only is the average Jew? Because the obvious question could be is, what if I didn't put blood on the doorpost, right? So you'd say, well, then the firstborn would die, yes? What if the house had no firstborns? Do they have to put blood on the doorpost? I think from the Midrash we say that whoever is the head of the household, whoever is the first, would get it, right? Like, there could obviously have been people that had no firstborns, right? Let's say the firstborn died or was hanging out at a friend's house, right? So, like, what would have happened, right? So, obviously the blood was needed. So the blood was needed certainly for us to show our devotion to Hashem. They're saying, why did it happen this way? Blood was something that we needed to do. But Hashem is now saying, but I'm going to save you anyway, regardless, because of this elevated status. I guess we'll say almost like this. The blood is needed from the Jewish people, but by doing the blood, by performing this blood service, that created this elevated status of us. Maybe we'd say it like that. Okay? Well, I'm leaving the point. I mean, the question is a good question. We're leaving the point aside. Okay? So he says, because of this level, it's something that never existed by all previous plagues. So therefore Hashem says, now you have to bring a carbon Pesach because of what just happened. So that all other plagues will save you for another reason. This plague is saving you for an entirely different reason. So I'm on the second paragraph, about four lines down. Tziva them HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'akriv karban. Hashem told them to bring a karban. Ki ve'eza inyan heim shelo, umayim tzrichim lo, because they need to do something for him, for Hashem, because they need to get close to Hashem, because he says, you're mine, I chose you, now you must connect. La'avod lo, u'ba'avod heim shelo, and by doing the service, they become his. That's how he became the Bechor. By doing this service. So it's kind of like what we just said. By them doing this action, they become this, have this connected thing, which will therefore save them. Okay, fine. By the period, middle of the paragraph. Because of this. Nikra korban hazeh Pesach. This is eye-opening to me. It's called Pesach. Kitargumo chayis. For those of you that don't know Aramaic, like myself, he says, Shehu Lashon Rachmanut. What does Chayis mean? Like when a person is Chas Al Mamono, it means compassion. He's concerned. Do you know what Korban Pesach is? It's the Korban of concern. It's the Korban of compassion. Ubir Inyan Zeh. To explain this idea, this is what it means. Since you're now a portion of mine, he, meaning of his, of Hashem, he's going to have compassion on you. He's going to have rachmanus on you. Al asher lo shelo ye'aved. Because you're his. And so you won't be destroyed. V'zehu inyan Pesach. That is what Pesach is about. Did you know this? The whole idea of Korban Pesach is not because Hashem jumped over our houses. It's the Korban of compassion of Hashem. His rachmanut. How do you translate rachmanut? Compassion, yeah? Yeah? Mercy. Mercy, right? Mercy sounds worse. This is a game you play, you know? Like mercy, right? But because of the mercy, the compassion that Hashem has for us, that's why he jumped over the house. So what the Korban Pesach means, when he jumped over, he was compassionate to us. Why was he compassionate to us? Because we became suddenly so deeply connected to him. Kilakach. Okay, so v'zel perish hakasav. This is what the psukim actually mean. Ready for this? V'kacha tochloso. Says the Pasuk, this is how you're supposed to eat it. How are you supposed to eat it? It's kind of bizarre how many laws are associated with the Korban Pesach. You have to eat it this way, cook it this way, do this, invite these people. This is how you should eat it. You shall eat it in haste. It is Pesach for Hashem. What does that mean? So for this reason you should eat this Korban. Pesach Hashem. Shehi merachim aleichem. You should eat this because Hashem has rachmanut on you. V'korban zeh, shatem obdim lefana v'korban hazeh. Because you serve him with this korban, uv'zeh atem shalo v'roi l'rachim al shalo. Because you gave this korban, because you did the blood and you did everything, you now become his. Because of that, he's actually going to have rachmanos on you. Because you serve Hashem, he has extra compassion for you, and that's why you're saved. Okay? Got it so far?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to trouble you for the tea. Ask your question.
What does that have to do with, like, eating the korban quick?
So that's a different thing. We didn't get up to chipazon. We're going to get up to different aspects of what the actual korban is. Anything, no caffeine.
Strawberry.
Fine. Strawberry chamomile sounds great. No, just one. Yeah.
It's
fine. It doesn't matter. I'm not picky, except I don't like most teas. It's fine. Okay, just choose one. It's fine. Or three. That's fine. That's exactly what I was looking for. Thanks. Pure chamomile. Okay, so this is where we continue. Because Hashem chose us from all the other nations to be His, now He's going to point out this to the Amora Bazer Shehu Yachid. It shows that He is totally one. He's the only one. Okay, and therefore, if Hashem is one, He's going to choose us to be one. He's not going to choose multiple nations. Shekemetru Yachid, He is the universal one. Bocher Be'uma Yechidit, He chooses one nation. Lo Beklal Humos, not amongst anybody else. Shazenos in Inyan Ha'achdus, this shows our concept of Achdut, which is, how do I translate in English?
Unity.
Unity, through this idea of His Yichud. That's what we call to Yichud Hashem, is total unification of Hashem. And therefore He chooses us for this level of achdut. Shem ein kan achdut, if there would be no achdut, lo haya bocher be'uma yechidit. He would not have chosen this nation. This is an important point, which is going to explain now what all aspects of the Korban Pesach relate to, is the concept of achdut, right? Of unity. The unity of Hashem, the oneness of Hashem, is going to choose a people to create a sense of unity with. And this is going to be the first mitzvah that we basically have, which is going to be a mitzvah related always to unity.
Is it unity between us and Hashem? Or between
so
us
at
and
this stage, it's us and Hashem, but it will be showing us and us. V'zot ha'avodah hi avodas me'uma yechida l'mishu echad. This is going to be what the service is of the Uma Yechida, the chosen, the one nation, to the one who is totally unified. This is the essence of really what the sacrifice is about. Lekach, hayakol ha'avodah zot binin achdus. Everything about the Korban Pesach is about achdut. What is that? Ki haya mitzvot ha'korban lechel oto al kra'av v'al kirbo. You know, you have to tie that whole animal up, and everything has to be in, it has to be unified. The whole Korban has to be unified. Now, most of us here are not people that understand Korbanot so well, but the way the Korban has to be presented is that the whole thing has to be tied up. The pasuk goes on and tells us it has to be tied up. It has to create this achdut, this unification. She'ein roi she'a korban hazeh mechulak. It cannot be separated into pieces. Rak al rosh v'al karav must be on head, I guess two legs, v'al kirbo, everything all together. Ki adavar shehu mechulak, that which is separated, eino echad. It's not one. Shere yesh v'chalak, it has different parts. Something which is unified, which is one, that itself has achdus. Something which is whole has achdus. First stage about the korban is about the sense of unity of the korban itself. Next paragraph, korban the whole purpose of the way you do it is also showing achdus. There's another law when it comes to the korban pesach. You all have to eat in the same house. You can't have it in different houses. You can't split amongst different families, different groups. You can't even eat in two separate places. All of this is to show you that the actual korban itself must have total unity. I think it is telling that, you know, they say that this Pesach Seder is perhaps the most widely celebrated holiday that we have. Like 70% of Jews celebrate Seder, right? Whatever level that they celebrate, right? But pretty remarkable, because usually about some level of unity there. know, we're all coming together. So it's pretty remarkable. So the whole aspect of it really is about the unity of the actual carbon itself, the way you eat it, how it's cooked. Then he goes on to tell us that there's a set tamim. You know how old the sheep is? When you're thinking of a carbon pesach, how big do you think this is?
I know, a year.
Right, it's a year old. You know how big it is?
Full size.
No, it's like this big.
A year old, or like that big as a week old.
Goats at least are that big, right? Maybe a sheep is a little different. When they were doing it in Israel, they were about this big, right?
What?
You do it in Israel?
They were trying to do a mock thing for it, yeah?
But they were the right age.
Sheep are probably bigger, yeah?
Depends probably on the breed, I don't know.
It's got to look up year-old sheep.
Mom, did they kill the sheep for this demonstration?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
No, I don't think so. I mean, if they did, they had a meal with it, not for Pesach.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Okay, but just... As long as
it's a one-year-old sheep?
This is what it's showing.
One-year-old?
What's
that? Yeah, one-year-old.
They're
like full size.
No.
Like me. Anything next to a person. Yeah, that looks more like it, right?
No way, that's a day old. That's born. That is literally dropped from the womb.
Okay, we actually have a machlokas here.
Let's look at centimeters and inches.
No, that's born today.
Oh, okay.
Today.
Wait, that, you think that's born today?
Yeah. I know for sure. I'll find the video.
You had steroid sheep.
No, I didn't have steroid sheep.
This is a day old sheep.
No, yeah, because that's a day old sheep. This is probably a day old sheep.
Wait, do we want a week old?
We want a year old. I need a year old.
I know.
Old. That's not helping. I need a year old.
There's articles about how to like measure and see how big they are.
Oh, yeah, just type in how big is a one-year-old sheep.
Full size.
This is a
one-year-old sheep. Yeah. How big? How large? Type in how large is a one-year-old sheep. So he says, set tamim ben shana. Luckily over here he has nothing to do with weights. When it says a one-year-old sheep, he says, why one-year-old? Ki ben shana hu echad b'shanim is the oneness of years. V'im haya b'shanim haya yotzi min ha'achdos. If it was two, it would remove itself from the unification of the oneness of things. Okay? Therefore, it remains in a state of unity of the oneness of years. V'davka se, specifically a sheep, v'lo egel, not a calf, ki se l'dakuso nechshav echad l'gamri. The nature of the sheep is that it's considered Echad. What does that mean? Because Chazal tell us that the Jewish people are compared to a sheep. Why is it compared to a sheep? Just like by a sheep, if it gets injured in one part of its body, the entire body feels it. So to the Jewish people, if one person sins, everyone's going to feel the effects of that sin. Shari Achan, because we know Achan was the one person, he sinned, and all the Jewish people felt that sin. What that means, he says, Ki aseh l'dakos tivo. So the nature of its, I guess we'll call frailty, if you will. Veino bal chomer, it's not so strong. Gas va'av, it's not so thick and heavy, except for hers. Ki davar shu chomri, kamo hashor, but something which is physical and bulky, like an ox, or a donkey, or a davar shudom, or anything like that. Yesh bo inyan chomri, it's got real gezunta physicality. Chomer itself, somehow, I don't know what he means by this, doesn't have this unification. Because the sheep is so frail, it's got a temperament that's very fine, if you will. Therefore, it's not so physical, therefore, it would be injured by anything, or if one of his part of its body would be injured, the whole body would actually feel it. The Kach Yisrael, so to the Jewish people, because Ba'avor She Yisrael, Ba'avor She Yisrael, Mipnei Shem Rechokim Medrigas Chomer. Since the Jewish people are more connected to spirituality and less connected to physicality, Aval Medrigasim Medriga Ruchnis Elokis. Their level is really a spiritual experience. Lefikach Echad Chote. Therefore, if one sins, Kulam Lokim, everyone's going to be injured. Everybody feels it. This level of spirituality cannot be, it does not get split, it's all unified. Whenever we deal with chalakim, separation, different parts, that's on a physical standpoint, but when we deal with spirituality, we deal with everything being unified. And that's why the pasuk says it should be a set tamim, top paragraph. Ki hatmimut vashlemut hu achdus. Because by the fact that it's whole and it's sholem, that shows us unity. As it says, vayam mishkan echad, just like by the mishkan was one. Kasher yash sholem asei nechshav echad. Once it was whole, it was considered like one. And that's a general idea. Okay? Okay, so if we go to the paragraph below that one, v'chein al tochlu, it's the third paragraph on that side of the page. V'chein al tochlu mimenu na, right here, right? Do not eat from it na. Na means partially roasted. V'ashel mevushal, you cannot eat it cooked in liquid, it has to be tli'esh, it must be entirely roasted. Hakol inyan zed, this is all the same idea. Because when you cook with liquid, or any other type of, with water, any other liquid medium, chalakim is pardon. What happens is the meat itself starts to soften and separate. So when you soak a meat and you cook it this way, it becomes much looser and can easily be separated apart. About sli'esh, but when you roast it, it actually, the fire caused it to contract and become more solidified. This is specifically why the Karban Pesach must be roasted, because it needs to create and formulate this level of achdus. right?
I'm thinking of kebab.
You're thinking of what?
Like kebab. Whenever you put it on the fire, it like they just drink a little
bit. Any steak, right? You're like, oh, this should be enough to feed us. Oh, man. Right? And you grill it, and it's like, I thought it was 10 people. It's 2 people, right? So that's what happens. It's shrinking here. It's basically becoming this way. The fire pulls out the liquid, and therefore the meat becomes harder and becomes more unified. Okay, but not when you cook with water. Don't eat it partially cooked. It must be totally roasted over the fire. And that's how the meat will become hardened there. Same idea. It all is about unification. That korban itself should be one and unified just like Hashem.
So it has to be well done. Medium.
It can't be partially cooked. But it sounds like, I don't know if it has to be burnt. But it seems like it can't be partially cooked. Can't eat if it's burnt, right. But you're saying, does it have to be well done? Could be rare, right? I really have no idea. Probably, I mean, I'm assuming rare is considered cooked, you know? I don't know. No, but the pasuk says, al tochlu minu na. You shouldn't eat it when it's partially cooked. So I'm sure the Gemara discusses what na is, but I'm not sure what it is.
But sheep are more frail than other animals.
They're not?
Even if they're not small.
Right. As I said, when it comes to size, he hasn't mentioned anything about size. That was my mistake. Grave mistake. I failed for that one. Yeah. Okay. So therefore he says, also keep in mind that mayim, if you cook with water, mayim itself, the word of water itself is always plural. Right, you can't say water in singular. Right, the word mayim is always double. And you can't say it in singular, as we learned a few times before. Rakalash and Rabin perishon atam bepazuki min hamayim mishisi, when they took Moshe out of the water. Kihem chomrim vein achdus rak betzura. They look unified, but it really does not have. It's really separated. Akach korban is a hamor ala achdus asa levashamayim. Therefore, this korban cannot be cooked in water. V'chol mashkashu kamamayim, any other liquid that's just like water. V'davar ze inyan muflag v'tivinehu. It's an amazing thing, and you better understand. So if we're all saying that, I can tell you, I don't understand. Right? But that's what he's telling us about this idea. Also, we have, it says, another thing we have is etzem lo tishbur abo. You're not allowed to break any bones of it. It's such a weird halacha. Right? Like, so the obvious idea that we say is, why can't you break any bones? Because it shows you're ravenous. You're trying to suck out the marrow. Like, you're only supposed to eat it after you're full. Shem hayah shover etzem, you break it. And we separate it, something that you don't need to do in order to eat. You're eating the meat. It's not called separating it. Why? Because that's the way you eat it. about shviras atzamos, but to break a bone, ein zeh la'achila v'nikra shvira. That's not called eating. That's just called breaking, and it causes separation, and that's not appropriate for Pesach. Also, kashviras etzem b'mashu etzem shviraso yota nikra pir v'chilak. Okay, it's also called some level by breaking. It's called some separation. Right. I said b'mashu etzem shviraso yota nikra pir. It was considered a bone. Now you broke it. Now it's bones. So it doesn't fall in that category. Let me just see if he says. Okay, same idea in the next paragraph, basically. Okay, let's go to the bottom paragraph on the next page. Sadiches. We're going to try to jump from this to another one after. What's the next page you have? You have Sadiches?
Yeah.
What's after that? And Kufchet, right? You jumped after. Okay. Umasha Amra Torah Lechol Pesach Amatzah Morim. Why does it tell you to eat it on Matzah Morim? Who Gam Kain Davar Zekadei Lahotzim Liban Sheisel Apikorsim. It's also to remove from the hearts of the Apikorsim. Shehim Omrim Kimina Echad Lo Yavo Riboy Rak Mikoch Echad Yavo Davar Echad Bovad. I think I'm going to skip this paragraph. The Abikorsim are the ones that are mentioning multiple deities. Shehem Omrim ki min ha'echad lo yavo riboy. From a one unified source, you can't have multiplicity that comes out of it. Rak mikoach echad yavo dever echad velvad. Only from a single source can you develop a single concept. Okay, I'm going to skip this part.
That's interesting, because we can have like one word in the Torah that has a million.
No, but they'd say, okay, because if he's one, he can only create one. You need multiple in order to create multiple. That's what the Apikorsim want to say. Mm. The opposite, right? They want to say that you need multiplicity in order to create multiplicity. But either way, he's saying that in order to dispute them, you say this one carbon, which comes from the unification of the oneness of Hashem, it's eaten with matzah and mar. Two things. Ki matzah mar al chayrus. Four lines from the bottom. Matzah signifies freedom. Maror is shemor al shiva, shows you the servitude. Two opposite experiences. Ki me ito shu echad yavo chayrus. Because from him, the sheep, or from Hashem, where he is one, will come chayrus. V'havchahu hashibud shu amochetz v'hu arofe. That the oneness of Hashem can create both the slavery and the freedom, and you would think that it would have to come from separate entities. This is really what the part of the view of the Apikorsim are, is that they believe the power of Hashem, but it's limited power. It cannot create, it wouldn't create both servitude and freedom. Right? Even I believe, I remember hearing years ago that the conservative movement held this idea that Hashem can't stop evil. And he doesn't have the power to stop evil. Like, evil comes by itself. It's like artificial intelligence, you know, like mind of its own. Like, that was their view. Why does bad happen? Oh, it happens because Hashem can't stop it. Totally false, right? But he's saying that that's why both have to come from Hashem, to signify this is also part of the unity as well. I want to go on to the next thing. So there's more he says about this whole idea of unity. Probably can't skip that, but we're going to anyway. Okay, he does go into matzah, but we're going to actually skip to abrikosis. It's actually part of the same chapter. So, and that's why we're on page Kuf Beis, right? And then it's Kuf Bet, right? Where it's Amnam Mitzvot Arba Kosot. Yeah, you see it? Again, we're trying to go fast with this because he has what to say. So Amnam, however. So obviously we're just jumping in the middle of a however over here. The mitzvah of the four cups of wine. The rabbis established that. It's not in the Torah. Ki kasher es achilav achilav shal mitzvah. Since the eating is an eating of mitzvah, and this eating is not like any other type of eating. Rak achila zot achilat mitzvah ashtia hi mityaches al achila. The drinking is connected to the achila. Shein achila b'lo shtia. Because really eating means drinking as well. L'fikach, kamosha achila hi mitzvah elyona, just like eating is an elevated mitzvah, so too the shtia, the drinking, is going to elevate as well, that it's going to be a drinking of mitzvah, and it's not going to be any other drinking. So on the basic level, what he's saying is, since the eating itself is a mitzvah, Chazal established that since you need drink with eat, therefore we're going to make drink into its own unique mitzvah unto itself. It's going to be elevated to a level of mitzvah. The Medrash tells us, and this you know, that the arba kosos, the four cups of wine, are keneged the arba lashonos of geula. Last week we learned about the idea from the Tolna Rebbe, if you remember. Anybody remember the four different lashonos of geula? No, because nobody was here. Oh, except on Shabbos, right? So what was the four lashonos of geula? Was that everybody has different levels. We never did it on Shabbos. Everybody has different levels of their own redemption. Which meant that what you need to be redeemed from may be different than the next person. Okay, that's how we learned it before from the Talmud Rebbe. But here he says something totally different. Here he says, "What says Yisrael mitachlis lo v'samine perish elu arba lashonos yishem panim rabim." There's many different interpretations of what it means to have the four lashonos, four terminologies of redemption. And we already explained above elu arba lashonos v'kulamim dvarim. Okay, they all come from one source. However, now by the underline again in the second paragraph, what we explained previously, because on the children of Avram was decreed that three things are going to happen. Ki ger, zaracha, you're going to be foreigners. One. Number two, vavadum, you're going to be slaves. The inuotam, and you're going to be afflicted. Three different levels, right? Foreigner. By the way, we're foreigners in this land. Yes? Agreed? Great. Okay? And we're going to serve, and we're going to be afflicted for 400 years. Hizkirim shlosha dvarim. Therefore, there were three things that were mentioned. Gerus, avoda, and inui. Vehim shlosha dvarim ha'echad yoter mikashim ha'sheni. There are three different things, one more difficult than the next. Vezeh. So says the Maharal over here, what is these three things? Again, we said you're a foreigner, you're a slave, and then you're afflicted. Obviously, you can see the hardships related to it. So he says, these three things are one more difficult than the next. That's because geirus, to be a foreigner in a foreign land, they're now subjugated to others. Okay, you don't have a right to decide what you want to do. Even though Jews oftentimes in America feel like we're in charge of everything. But in fact, we don't have that. This, by the way, is a long-standing machlokas gedolim. Right? And that long-standing machlokas gedolim, Lubavitcher was on one side, another gedolim on the other side, and that was, do you put Jewish law into, do you force the goyim into fulfilling the Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach or not?
It doesn't count unless they're doing it
for sure. Yeah, but do you force them into that? So the Baal Shem Tov was a proponent that you do. You have to tell every guy, you want to put on tefillin? I'm not Jewish. Good, here are the seven mitzvot in Noach. That's what they gave out cards. They always carried cards around with them. Right?
For real?
Yeah, whenever they were tabling, they would have cards for seven Noachide laws. And they give it out.
Still do that? For real? Randomly in the street?
No, they're tabling with tefillin. Guy goes, I want to put on. Oh, you're Jewish? I'm not. Oh, here's a card. Right, the Baal Shem Tov is a proponent of telling them about the Shev Mitzvah B'nei Noach. One guy told me that they're getting a lot of flack now because one of them is like, homosexuality is prohibited. So they're like, what is this? You don't accept this? You know? So they throw the cards back. That's
It's not like a new concept.
Yeah, this is
clear. Yeah, but in this day and age.
But also, like, now you're kind of obligating them to it. Because, like, if you don't
You're obligated anyway.
Right, but if you don't know, then, like, when you go up to...
They're still
no,
getting...
not in those. In those seven... So I think Rav Hanna Wasserman writes that those seven are natural understandings. That the... Anyway, but guys will be like, I didn't know you can't steal. Nobody told me. Who said you can't murder? So all the seven Noahide laws are things that are naturally understood by every human being.
Yeah, but
you are, not so much. It is. I still understand.
But isn't the homosexuality part of that?
Yeah, I understand, but I'm saying the whole idea of them, let's say, you know, the values of marriage, right? Where did they get that from? No law, right?
What about Birkat Hashem?
Yeah.
Is that
Should be. Unless you deny God's existence. Anyone who wants to deny God's existence is going to deny the whole thing. You know, they work to deny God's existence. That's what they do. They. Yeah, but to be a non-God-fearing non-Jew, you have to work to not fear God. That's the point. By the way, it's not fear. It's just recognize God. And you can't curse God. That's it.
But if you're born into a society where people don't fear God or recognize God...
Again, according to many of them first, and they say that these are things that naturally you should have figured out yourself. You should have figured these are things you should have figured out. So if you saw a tree growing and things like that, you should have figured out like what's going on over here. You know?
So why did it take Adam 4 years?
To do what?
To figure out that there's a God.
It seems that he recognized that at 3, but he developed the whole thesis till 40.
Oh, okay.
That's what it seems to be. so where are we now?
Bottom of the first
okay, so he said Kiagiris, by the way, so again, so that was a long-standing machlokas that you have. Lubavitch Rebbe was on this side, and some others as well, and others were saying, no, like, we don't push that. You know, like, they got to figure their own lives out. We're not here to push it on them, so we're not pushing these things in societies for it. It's the whole question we'll be here also, the whole abortion debate. Right? Where, forget the fact that the reformers saying, oh, Jews believe that you should abort and whatever, like, forget that ridiculous narrative. But are we required to tell people that you should not abort? Because, oh, Judeo-Christian values. Like, are we required to promote that the goyim should not do abortion?
But some of
the... Because
of
murder. That's why, because when the Shem is enough. Are we required to tell them they shouldn't do it? That's the question. But again, it's not murder for Jews. It's only murder for goyim.
It's not murder for Jews?
Wait, what?
You're saying if they do it, then it's not murder?
No. If we have scenarios, it's an iser lav, but it's not punishable by death if a Jew commits an abortion.
A Jew?
If a Jew does an abortion, it's not punishable to a Jew.
If
a Jewish woman has an abortion, it's not the same punishable like a non-Jew.
But not if she does it for the same intentions.
I give you one level. No. That's why I said the example is if you were to go into 7-Eleven and steal a straw, which you can no longer do, by the way, because all the straws are behind the counter, right? But if you were to go into 7-Eleven and take a ketchup packet or, a cap from the Slurpees, right? And you didn't pay for anything, so then you violated stealing. Agreed? Right?
As a Jew.
But as a Jew, you're not chayav for pachos mishavapruta, less than the value of a shavapruta. So you wouldn't be chayav for stealing the cap, but if you're a non-Jew, you would be. And punishable by death. Right? Huh?
You can be killed for that?
I think so, yeah.
And they don't need Adam.
And they don't need... Maybe they don't need...
They don't need warnings.
Right? So the law... Why? Because the fact that, like, we gave you 7 laws. We're not asking much. Just stick to those 7, and that's all we need to do.
Like, dafka those 7 that they...
That's it. That's all you have. And those ones that they don't keep, right? I mean, they keep others, right?
What do they keep?
They're all vegan. They're not eating Abram and Achai. There you go. Chupa. Right? They don't have to eat kosher, but they're not killing live animals, a limb off of live animals, so that's a good answer.
They still eat the stuff, what's it called?
Huh?
The Rocky Mountain oysters.
They said not the vegans.
Oh, yeah.
Not all these, right?
Yeah, but the vegans are violating everything else.
From that one mitzvah.
Yeah.
And the Rambam writes that if you're following Shabbat Mitzvah Noach, it has to be with intent that you're doing it because God commanded.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, because all the vegans are also atheists.
Exactly. Yeah, I was saying vegans are violating everything else.
Okay, so back to our scheduled program here, okay? So, when you have geirus, by the way, just to backtrack where we are, just to clarify, right? So we're talking about the idea that 3 different things that Hashem told Avram was going to happen, and because of that, those is going to be, we're going to see how the cups connect to this. Geirus, when you're a foreigner in a foreign land, you're subjugated to another nation. When we come welcome, ain't mishubat la'acher, but you're not mishubat to somebody else. You're not forced to somebody else. The avadum who yoter mizeh, but to have avadum, it means it's a greater level. Shum mishabibo. Now you're now subjugated in a much deeper level. But still, nonetheless, there are plenty of people that had slaves and they loved their masters, you know, and they were good to them. That's a normal thing. People that had many different types of slaves. And so he said, therefore, Geirus and Abdus, these two things, are in fact normal ways of life. Okay, maybe not in our society so much, but certainly being a foreigner is a normal way of life. And many people that used to be slave owners, it was a normal way of life. And you treated your slaves fine. It's the last stage that was the one that was difficult. However, he says, Aval ha'inu yudavar yoter mikashir. That's too much. She'ena adan ma'anes avdo, aval hu mashabibo. Because really a regular slave master, he would put his slave into servitude, but he wouldn't cause him afflictions. Ve'ein ma'an oso, v'ikach v'ino oso hu yoter. Therefore, it's obviously much worse. The kasher bar ligol osam, when Hashem came to redeem them, the Jewish people, hitchil ba'achron, began with the end, which was, oses yitzchem itachas of Yisrael, I'm going to redeem you from the civils of Yisrael, the oppressions. Zen neged he'inui, that was removing the affliction. And then he says, v'yitzalti, and that was from avoda, servitude. And after that, then he said, v'ga'alti, and that was against the geirus, I'm going to make you part of my nation. It's only three right now, right? Ve'otzeiti, ve'hitzalti, ve'ga'alti. And those are from ger, being a foreigner. That is from being an eved, and then being afflicted. Right? Meaning being hurt, or whatever.
What's the Hebrew term for the afflicted?
Inui. Inui. Sorry, inui.
Inui.
Okay. Aval chasar adayim lehem hachibor b'kadosh baruch hu. By having these three things removed, so fine, I'm not a foreigner, I'm not under pain, and I'm not a slave to anybody, but I don't have a connection to anything. That's what I'm missing. Ve'alzeh amar v'lakachti etchem l'am, I'm going to take you as a nation, shetiyu li, and now you're going to be for me. Which means, ultimately, again, he's saying that anytime someone who is disconnected from something else has three stages. There's badness of being afflicted. There's being slave, right? You have to serve somebody else. And then there's the lighter level, which is you're just a foreigner. You don't really have, you owe somebody else something. But to have a deeper connection, that's the next level. That's v'lakachte eschem l'am, I'm going to take you as a nation. This is going to show us what the four cups are actually all about. So the next part is a little spiritual. Let's go through it quickly over here. Vod pirashon ki kasher Yisrael ha'ivim Mitzrayim. When the Jewish people were in Egypt, from every aspect of what they are, they were enslaved, and that's what it means. Kol davar shu morkav min chalakav, chalakav shel adam ha'guf. The parts of a human being are guf, body, nefesh, soul. Soul. Vashlishi hu adavar nasa mechibur shneim. Always hard to read this. The third thing is that which is the composition of both body and soul. There's body, there's soul, and then there's body and soul. One thing together. Just like he says, for example, Shabbayat, the house, Shemurka Mechalakov, it's comprised of parts. That's just the rocks, the stones, and the wood. The Etzim Tresabayas, who are Shlishi, but the house itself is the next thing. In English, we call that, it's German, in English, we call that the Gestalt, right? The sum is greater, I'm sorry, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Right? A car is comprised of many thousands of pieces, but together they're not just thousands of pieces, they're also a car. Right? So he's saying that you have a nefesh, you have a guf, put them together, now you have the human being. It's a totally different aspect of it. Everybody has these three things. However, the Jewish people have a fourth thing, and that is chibur haklal b'yachad, the connectivity of the nation together as one. Ki b'chlal yesh ma'ashen kim prab. Because in the unified nation, something that exists that doesn't exist in the individual, and because the Jewish people, when they were in Shibur Mitzrayim, when they were in slavery, mitzav chilek echad u'aguf, they had the body was enslaved, and therefore it says v'otzeiti, I'm going to take you out of that. And then it was the neshama, and I'm going to take you out of that. All these different things. The kasher nefesh kal bazar is at the bottom of the page. When the nefesh is light and is able to do things that it wants to do, hatnua hu muchan liyazar is mahir, bavoda can serve Hashem better. So, you know, skipping through this idea is ultimately this finality of what the Jewish people have is always going to be the next level up, which means that everything is going to exist in a world of three, but four is going to be a higher level. Okay, so we saw already, what did that mean? There was three levels of servitude, but then there was a fourth level, which was connectivity, chibur, which we said that was the achdus that we had before. So one chibur we said was that we're free, but now we're connected as the fourth thing to Hashem. When it came to the human being, there's the composition of the human being, and then there's the chibur to the rest of Klal Yisrael, the connection to the rest of the Jewish people, whereas other nations don't have that. So this is what's unique about the Jewish people, is this fourth element is the connectivity to Hashem, the connectivity to one another, is this achdus that we have with one another. So we're skipping a little bit more. Okay, so therefore, we go to the next page. And Kavdal, Fikach, Hasher Ba, Ha'ora. Therefore, he says, there's going to be what drinking is going to be. Kasher Ba, Ha'ora, Bachilas Matzah, Al-Gula. If the idea of eating matzah is coming on Gula, Ba horas arbakosasaurus al madrega yoter el yona. You thought matzah was the ultimate you needed at the Seder. Really, the drinking of the wine is the ultimate at the Seder. How do you know it's the ultimate at the Seder? What halacha do you know that dictates that wine perhaps is on a higher level than eating of matzah? It's kind of weird. It's a mitzvah drabbanon. Right? Why would wine be on a higher level than matzah? There's one halacha, the Gemara says. Afilu anisha b'Yisrael, even a poor person, he cannot have less than 4 cups of wine. What does it say about matzah? It doesn't say that. Right? The ani's got to go wherever he can to figure out how he's going to get 4 cups of wine. What's the story? Like, it's a mitzvah d'rabbanim. Chazal are going to actually take this and elevate this to a higher level. So it says the Maharal over here on this page, achila is ge'ula. But there's another concept. Arba kosot is a madrega yoter elyon. It's greater than ge'ula.
Like the
four and the three. Exactly. That's who's going to say that the matzah is represented by the avos, and the arbakosos are the imahot. Mm-hmm. Right? That's who's going to tell us over here. Ki ha-hefrei sheyesh bein achila v'ashtia, hu davar zeh. What's the difference between eating and drinking? Ki achila hu yoter gashmi. It's much more physical than actual drinking itself. Ki ha-mashku dak yoter. It's lighter. We should say this before. Anything which is like, we said the sheep, right? Anything more dak, it's more fine, it's more refined, it's more distant from anything physical. We did this once before. Lufikach bashtiat arbakosot al madrega sagula shiyoter liyona. It's talking about drinking the cups is going to a higher level than that of the actual regular geula of what the matzah is. And by the way, the matzah represents Abdus to Cheirus, right, represents slavery in the beginning, Halach Ma'anya, slavery, right, and then it turns into Geula, whereas wine always represents Geula, right, it's on another higher level. Lufikach ba shtias arbakosas al madriga segula shiut eliona. So why is it that we're going to have four? He's going to explain. Lufikach achilas matzah arbakosas ba lahoris al madriga segula. If eating matzah and the drinking of the wine is related to that of Geula, which is a level above that. There's different levels of geula. As you just said, drinking is less gashmiut, it's less physical than that of actual eating itself. By the way, so this is important to note, that at your seders, you realize that everybody's going to experience geula very differently. And the more a person connects, the greater geula they can actually receive at the seder itself. That's an important fundamental aspect. He was like, what took you so long in your Seder? What were you doing? Like, what? You know, the answer is, I was just trying to get to a higher level, a deeper level of Geula. That's what I wanted to get to reach a higher level in that. Yeah, go ahead. Question.
I forgot my question.
Eating and drinking. That was maybe where your question was. Okay.
Isn't
Geula so much more meaningful whenever, like, you've gone through, like, the worst of it? Like, when you've gone through the slavery, like, wasn't, like, reaching out to Israel so much more meaningful? Like, the Arab's so much better because they were in the desert? Right, okay, but here he's saying that there's another levels of Geula. So there's a first level, and there's going to be a higher level that you can actually reach. That's what I think is just saying from eating and drinking, there's just going to be different levels that you can actually reach that can be in a higher, distinct place.
How do we reach a higher level?
So again, I think it's about, part of it is really about Tahkar Satov. We also are obligated to feel Shibud more. That's kind of like Rabbi Stuber spoke about that, you know, that you have a requirement to feel more Shibud. Spoke of the Zashal Shuz. You have a requirement to feel more slavery. Asked him the same question. Said, what are we supposed to do? So he's like, he didn't have it. You know, he thought initially, like, what's Sephardim do with scallions? And you guys walk through buckets? No scallions?
No, this is a Persian thing.
Yeah,
Persian.
Only
yeah.
Persians?
Yeah.
Persians only scallion people?
Is that Sephardim?
No, it's Persian
thing. Buckets, yeah. Buckets? You don't do buckets?
Well,
they set up two buckets of water and they walk through it. The crazy Yom Suf.
What?
No. I think that would be a boring
seder. Seriously, right? Some people that have the two buckets, they walk through it like the crazy Yom Suf. Yeah. Okay.
Do you? What's it called? Like.
For sure not. I'm telling you.
Reenact the scene of like
knocking on the door.
What?
I don't know if we have like a Haggadah that says like Moroccans do this now. And it says, like, that Syrians do this now.
Really? I should see. Okay. Okay, so back over here. So he says, so the Maharal points out, we said that matzah is taking you to one level of chayrus, of freedom. Aval ga'alti etchem bezrona tuya. That there's yitziah to chayrus, and then there's ga'alti. I'm going to redeem you, bezrona tuya with a strong arm. Lo bal etzem ha'yitziah l'chayrus. Not just referring to just taking you out. It's going on the idea that now you're redeemed. So he says, "Kol hadvarim ha'elu b'alahoros." All these ideas are trying to show us the following by the arrow. Al shaloyu mishubadim l'mitzrayim. Number one, that you would not be enslaved to Egypt. You amshu nigal. You'll be a redeemed nation. So you won't be serving them. One, two, you will be a redeemed nation. V'yu al Hashem yisbarach. You'll be now connected to Hashem. Redavers are yotim redregulion. Each one is going to be a higher level going up. Ki hamatza hi al etzem ayitziyah b'lvad. Matza is on leaving. Aval elu arba l'shem shagula heim dvarim kayamim omdim kach b'tmidiyot. But these things are for perpetuity, for eternity. These levels of leaving outside of matza represents one kind. But that which is going to be connected to the four cups, that's going to be something that's in a much more elevated status that remains forever. Therefore, it's on a higher spiritual level. On that, go to the next column over there. Elu arba lashonos heim bam kasher nishlam hageula v'nigmar. These four lashonos, they come when the geula is complete. Doma levlad shekvar nolad u'nimtza ba'olam mitzuras v'asher nishlam. It's like a baby that's now born and now it exists in the world as a complete baby. The devers are yotem adrigalin yotem. That shows the higher levels of higher level experience of shlemus, of completeness. Again, this is going to be going on the arba kosas. Interesting about the whole idea that the arba kosas go throughout the Seder. Now, the matzah is only a one part of the Seder. We only eat it in a state of redemption, but yet the wine we drink through servitude and through redemption, even past the eating of the matzah. It's an interesting concept over here.
Then why does the matzah represent slavery going into Geula?
But we don't eat it. We only eat in the world of Geula. Because when we first break it, we're showing that there's two types. Matzah represents slavery. Manish Nalaiza, right? Chametz Matzah, right? The whole thing. That matzah, in the beginning, Halach Ma'ani, represents slavery. It's all the bad things that we had. That we dechalu avatana ben Mitzrayim, that we ate in Mitzrayim when we were slaves. It's this hard bread. It's lechem oni, poor man's bread. And then it lechem oni turns into lechem oni she'onunim alav devarim harbet, that you speak a lot about. Right, so it's poor man's bread that turns into the Haggadah bread, right? So it has this dichotomy that you split into these two different things, but you only eat it in a state of freedom. And that's an interesting point. Whereas the wine is drunk throughout the whole Seder, right? Slavery, freedom, even after freedom, even beyond that, to the next level. Nirtza, right? Hallel, you're drinking wine, now you're going to higher levels of Geula with this wine. let's try to see if we can speed up and close it up. Okay, it goes on to wine. Wine is specifically different than the grape itself and how the wine itself is made. So he says on the bottom of that paragraph, you're going to tell me that the arba kosas are so great, how come there's no commandment in the Torah for it? Lo yiksha. Stop asking questions. Don't ask that question. Mipnei ki ha'ikar hu etzem ha'yitzia. Because the real thing is leaving Mitzrayim. That was the first stage. Lefishu ha'nesa pelabatzon. That itself was a miracle. Aval mikomakom b'inyan ha'madrega v'amayla ein ze kokacha ge'ula ba'atzon. Because when you're comparing it to actual ge'ula, we just needed to be free. And that's what Hashem needed to do. But this is now taking it to the next stage, and therefore it's not something that's commanded by the Torah on that level. And therefore he says, like, it is mentioned, but it's only hinted to. And it's hinted to the four Lashonos of Ge'ula itself. Shamashka b'pratayayin hu nivdal min ha'guf. Okay, fine. I want to get to the last part of this. Let's just see what we can get to. Okay, we'll do it on the next page. I'm kafe. Lefikach, achilas matzah v'shiyas arba kosas ba'al ha'horas ha'kabalas yisrael shtei ma'alas. By eating matzah and drinking wine, it gives us the ability to accept two different levels. One is the etzem etzia, one is just being able to get out of servitude into freedom. Shabbat ha'orah b'mitzvahs matzah. That comes through the eating of matzah. V'asheni amash yisrael heim nig'alim kvar. And the second thing is the fact that Jewish people are now currently redeemed. V'davar zem ma'ala elyoniyot t'b'asher kvar heim nig'alim. And this is on a higher level for that. The ge'ula over here is that when you can actually separate guf physically and be in a more spiritual state. Let's just see if I can get to you over here. We're going to get to the imahos. Let's see if we can get it over here. Where did those imahos go? Must be somewhere over here. Let's just see where it is. So, on Kufay's second paragraph, it says Lefikach Arba Kosas Kia Geula Hi Ba Me Olam Elyon. Geula, redemption, comes from the upper worlds. Olam Hazeh, into this world, true Olam Haribui. This is the world of, I guess, excess, if you will. V'chol Davar Shu Ba La Olam Hanivda La Olam Hazeh Yesh Ba Ribu Mechulik La Arba. Anything comes into this world from the Olam Elyon comes to this world in fours. These are four Lashonos, so everything comes into this world in the world of fours. The Torah explains, the Nahar Yotze Me Eden. You guys know about the rivers, the four rivers that come out of Gan Eden. It's the four rivers. Shemizem Bavor Elecha, Ki Kol Dover Shabame Olam HaNivdal, Kamo Hanar Shiotze Me Eden, Lahashkaz Gan, Kenu Ba Al Olam HaTeva, Hu Olam HaRiboy. The world of unification up above comes into this world and splits it always into four. Yipari, La'arba, Rashon will split into four heads. and that because there's Riboy and there's Pirud. There's separation and there's expansion. The Fikach ha-Ge'ula, so therefore Ge'ula has to come from the upper world and it comes into four different levels. Those are the four Lashonos of Ge'ula. V'davar zehim arba kosos. This is the four cups of wine. Since they now have this achila, which is coming from matzah, which is on the redemption, as you said, eating is less, is more chomer, more physical than drinking. As we explain, okay, skipping on that. Okay. He does talk about the fifth cup, but let's just go to the last page. Kufyot. Hine elu shlosh advarm. It sounds weird because we didn't say what those three things are. But I think it's talking about Pesach Matzah and Mor. That's what he's talking about because that's where we started this whole thing, right? Pesach Matzah and Mor. But he says, elu shlosh advarm heim zechusim shel avos. Those three things represent the merit of the avos. So, which means matzah is Avraham, Mor is Yitzchak, and Pesach is Yaakov. Okay, those three things, which we didn't go into. That's the page before that. You can look at it by yourself. But now he says, in Eilu Shol Shadvarim, these three things that relate to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Pesach, Matzah, Mor, Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avraham, Heim Zechuzam Shel Avos. Those are the merits of the forefathers. V'arba Kosos HaMetcharim Lezeh Neged Arba Imahos. But the four cups of wine are compared to the imahot. Why? Ki ashtia nimshach achar achila. Drinking goes after eating. The tafel ashtia etzel achila, and therefore drinking is considered secondary to eating. Me'achar shapesach matzamar neged zechusav. But since those three things are for the merit of the forefathers, bo ashtia sakosas neged hanashim. the drinking of the four cups go compared to the women. Shem gam kein tefela mitzvah nashim. They're considered tefil. Whatever that means, as we know, because we really refer to the forefathers, we don't really refer to the imams, except in certain situations. Shenemar kol dodu hinei zeba medaleg el ahar mikapetz al akvaros. So Pasukin Shir Shirim, Hashem says, im ani mistak el ma'asein shel Yisrael, if I would look at the deeds of the Jewish people, inim negam, they would not be redeemed. El mi ani mistakel, who would I be looking at? L'zuchus avos, I'm going to look at the merit of their parents, of their forefathers. Shenemar midaleg al harim, veinarim el avos. Okay. L'fize, ye perish mikapetz al hagvaos, skipping over the giva, what is that, mountain? Hills? Bizchut imahot. So when he says, kol dodi hinezeva midaleg el haharim, skipping over the mountains, mikapetz, jumping on the giva. What's a giva?
Place, hill. Like
a
giva.
Yeah, but it's a hill, I think, right? So he says, if midaleg el, skipping over the mountains, what's mikapetz al hagvaos? One refers to the avos, and the other one refers to the imahos. Ve'elu arba kosos neged zechus arba imahos. The four cups are therefore related to the zechus of the arba imahos. Al shem eshtecha kegefen pori, eshtecha kegefen pori abiyar kesei beisecha. The Medrash says, kol eilonos mekabim harkava im she'enu mino, chutz min hagefen. All trees can actually be grafted with one another, excluding that of the vine, of the grape. Because that's eshtecha kegefen. Delo mekabel min echer v'hitznua. Because they won't accept for anything else, they're considered tsnua, whatever that means related to that of a grape. if anyone tells you, you know, I want to learn tsnuas better, just be like a grape, okay? Be tsnua like a grape, right?
An oven.
An oven, right, exactly. Humble, right? Humble, and yeah. Valhayain mevarchen bar pira geffen. Lefikach arba kosa shemavarchen bar pira geffen. Remez zchus imos letzniusam. So again, he's quoting this idea that the geffen is the one thing that doesn't graft. It relates to tznua. Therefore, the kosot relate to the women. Therefore, there's a level of tznius associated. Medrash lo yasim ala levona fishi mos nikar levona. Skipping further, harisha nishtabchli mos veprat vitznius ki ikar shevach isha madrig aliona hi tznius. The praise to the level of tznius, and that's the greatest praise for a woman, is the idea of tzniut. We're pragm paragraph those in spare inyum. Okay, fine, that's useless. And all those questions I asked in the beginning, they'll be answered, and they'll all obviously make sense. That's kind of how it is, right? So it didn't go further in depth. Again, we did skip a lot to understand what this is, but seemingly there is a whole thing that the four cups of wine, which is not here, relates to. The Gemara says it relates to Yosef in by the whole incident with the Sarah Mashkin. The Sarah Mashkin mentions kos something biadi. It mentions it four times. Also related to Geula. It's related to Yosef over here. Somehow it's related more to the Imahos.
So it's 3 days, like after 3 days he was like...
Yeah, but that would be the Avos, right? But somehow this Kos Parabiyadi, each time he says that.
Like they both had the three, but then he had like the extra, like one that, I don't know.
Oh, there's something like that. He mentioned it four times, I forgot what it was on that. So let's just backtrack just to review. I know we're out of time on this, just I apologize for going over on this. So again... we discussed the idea that the whole idea of the Korban Pesach itself relates to the unity, unification, that for everything associated with the Jewish people chosen, that's why they're safe in the last plague, and it relates to the unity of them. Then we went into the different Lashonos of Geula that relate to removal of three, but you always need a fourth, which is extra for the Jewish people. And we saw that not only for the addition of connecting Lakach De'eschem L'am, we saw that the Jewish people have that uniqueness that was also the human being, that we have unity with one another. and Geula is one thing, Lekicha is something else. Geula is taking you to freedom. Lekicha is getting you to a higher level. Drinking is considered a much more lofty experience, much more spiritual, which perhaps is what he's also saying by women. The women are a much more spiritual level than that of the men in that whole experience. That's why you said that drinking compared to eating is considered much more lighter. It's considered much more spiritual. Notice that drinking gets you into a more spiritual state, by the way, right? The eating does not, right? When you eat too much, you will not have any nebuah. Mm-hmm. Take it from me. I haven't had nebuah in a long time. but obviously that's the whole idea. That's associated with it, this level of drinking. That's why ultimately it leads to geula. And seemingly, that's the geula that we were worthy in Mitzrayim was because of the women. Right? Because they're the ones who enabled the puravu. That was the whole idea of taking the mirrors, for the kior. But the women's one that were the ones who created that geula. So that was, whenever the Gemara says, Sha'af hema yubosanes, that they were part of the miracle, it means they were part of the slavery, but they also played an intrinsic role. So women played an intrinsic role in the redemption, and therefore the kosos are part of that ultimate redemption, and that gets you to that lighter place, that gets you to that expansive place, and that's the power of the women that gave you to that level. Okay, so...